Have your Bibles tonight. I would like to ask you to please turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I'd like to begin reading with I'll just read the last two verses of the 6th chapter. We try to begin studying this morning. And the main thing that I want us to think about tonight is that the way that we act as children of God, and I want you to listen carefully to what I say, but the way that we act as children of God determines whether God manifests Himself to us as our Father or as our enemy. Everybody follow what I just said? The way that we act as children of God determines whether God manifests Himself toward us as our Father or as our enemy. And, of course, what we want God to do is we want God to manifest Himself as our Father. We want Him to, as our Father, we want Him to do the things that we typically think of as a godly Father doing. We want God to provide for us. We want Him to protect us. We want Him to manifest His love toward us. We want to experience the blessings of being in His presence. But the Word of God also teaches that the same God who is our Father and who loves us with an everlasting love, and that nothing can separate us from the love of God, that same God who is our eternal Father can become as our enemy while we live here in this world. It may be hard to comprehend. But I pray that God will help us as we study His Word tonight, that we might clearly see that what we do and how we live will determine whether or not God manifests Himself as our Father or as our enemy. How many of you have ever heard people stress the unconditional, fill in the blank, the unconditional what? The unconditional love of God. Now, as far as our eternal salvation is concerned, the love of God is unconditional. And in the same breath, I think that we do a great disservice to the people of God when we teach and we imply that no matter what you do and no matter how you live, that God is still going to show love toward you. That's not what God's Word teaches. So we want to begin tonight by looking at the fact that God has given us a promise in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. The Word of God says, "Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and I will be a father unto you." I'm sorry, I didn't read. I was quoting. "Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." Now this is a conditional sonship. This is sonship that is a result of our doing something that God has commanded us to do. If we'll come out from among the world and live separate from the world, as long as we live separate from the world, God says, "I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters." Now, I want to give you the contrast of that right now. I want to ask you to please turn back to Isaiah chapter 63. And I want us to see the difference in God being as a father unto us. What has He told us to do there in 2 Corinthians chapter 6? He says, don't have fellowship with the ungodly ways of the world and people of the world. And He says, now, if you'll come out from among them and be separate and live different than the way the world lives, I'll be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, and you will experience all the blessings of sonship, of being a disciple of Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 63 now. I want you to hear the difference in God being and manifesting Himself as our Father and God manifesting Himself as our enemy. Do you think God can ever be your enemy? Look at Isaiah chapter 63, beginning in verse 8. For he said, this is what God said, for he said, Isaiah 63 and verse 8, for he said, surely they are my people. Do you hear what he's saying here? He's first going to establish the condition at this point. He says, now they're my people. They're walking the way that they ought to walk. They've come out from among them. They've been separate. They're my people. Surely they are my people, children that will not lie. At this point in time, God is describing, are they pleasant children? Or is God our Father well pleased with these children of God that He's describing in verse 8? He says, surely they are my people, children that will not lie. So He was their Savior. Now that's not talking about eternal salvation right there. He was their deliverer and He helped them. He delivered them from all kinds of trouble. He was their Savior. Why? Because they were children that walked in a way that pleased God. So He was their Savior. Now listen in verse 9. In all their affliction, He was afflicted, and the angel of His presence saved them. In His love and in His pity, He redeemed them, and He bare them and carried them all the days of old. What's God saying about His love for His people Israel here? What's He saying? He's saying that they did what they ought to do. They lived like they were children of God, and I manifested that I was their Father. I took care of them. I delivered them out of Egyptian bondage. I blessed them. I fed them in the wilderness. I led them by my Spirit. I blessed them in every way that a father could bless his people. Listen now to verse 10. But had they been good to God? Had they been obedient to God for a period of time in verses 8 and 9? And had God been blessing them because of their obedience? Now listen to verse 10. But can God's children who have been obedient for a while, can they turn around and go the other direction? Verse 10 says, but they rebel. The same people that He says, now these surely are my people. These are children that will not lie. And I was with them and I blessed them. And He says, but they rebelled and vexed His Holy Spirit. Therefore, He was turned to be their enemy. This is the same one who is their God, their Father, their Savior, their Redeemer, their Comforter, their Deliverer. That same one who had blessed them in so many different ways. Now the Word of God says that when they rebelled against God, what did He become to them? Instead of manifesting Himself as their Father and their Redeemer and their Savior, now the Word of God says, but they rebelled and vexed His Holy Spirit. Therefore He was turned to be their enemy. Does this mean that they died and went to hell? No, it doesn't. Because as far as fundamental eternal salvation is concerned, nothing can separate us from the love of God. We're preserved in Christ Jesus our Lord, and we're kept by the power of God. The Word of God says that God has loved us with an everlasting love. God loving us in a fundamental and eternal sense is not based on our obedience, but God manifesting His love to us while we live in this world is based on our obedience to Him. And when we who have been following God and serving God, let me ask you this, has God blessed America? Has God blessed America? Why has God blessed America? Why did God bless America so much? Yes, because our founding fathers feared God, believed God, loved God, because they obeyed God, because they based the laws of our land on the laws of God, because they feared and loved God. God blessed America. What have we done now in America? We have rebelled against Him. What is God toward us now? You might not realize it yet, but you're going to see that God is our enemy now. Now that's a frightening thing to think about, but the Word of God says here, that's what happened to Israel. God, does this say He became as their enemy or He was their enemy? Look carefully at the wording. Verse 10, but they rebelled and vexed His Holy Spirit. Therefore He was, what does that mean? He was turned. He was turned. He was no longer there, and we're talking about Savior here as far as a daily deliverer, and that's what the Word of God is talking about. He was no longer going to be delivering them and helping them. He was no longer going to be providing for them. He wasn't going to act toward them like a father does, providing love and security and all the other things that a father would be providing. He says now, when they rebelled, He turned and was their enemy. He was turned to be their enemy, and He fought against them. Have you ever tried to fight against God? You ever had God fight against you? Have you ever felt like God was working against you in anything in your life? That's what God will do. Now, God is merciful and God is gracious and God is long-suffering, but if you rebel against God, He will turn, and instead of manifesting Himself as your Father, He will manifest Himself as your enemy. Let me give you one other scripture. Turn to Lamentations. I don't want to concentrate on Him being our enemy. I want to get back to Him being our Father, but during the afternoon, as I've meditated on this, I felt like that it was essential that we begin to see very clearly there's a difference in God manifesting Himself as our Father and God manifesting Himself as our enemy. Look in your Bibles, please, at Lamentations, right after the book of Jeremiah. We have the little book of Lamentations between Jeremiah and Ezekiel. It's only a couple of pages long in the Bible, two or three pages. But I want you to look at Lamentations chapter 2. Lamentations chapter 2. What are we trying to do to begin with tonight? We're trying to contrast that even though God does give us a great promise in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters. That's a wonderful and glorious promise, but we need to understand that us failing to come out from among the world and live separate from the world, us failing to be holy unto the Lord, us failing to love God with all of our heart, will result in God not manifesting Himself as our Father, but Him manifesting Himself as our enemy. Look at Lamentations chapter 2. In your Bibles, please look at Lamentations chapter 2. And for the sake of time, I encourage you to go home and read this entire second chapter. Read Lamentations chapter 2. The whole chapter is talking about how God... In fact, the whole book of Lamentations is talking about how God dealt with His people, Israel. Read it, study it, think about it. I want you to notice Lamentations chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. Let me back up to verse 3. Lamentations chapter 2 and verse 3. Lamentations chapter 2 and verse 3 says, He hath cut off in His fierce anger. Does God get angry at His people? Yes, He does. What if God says He hath cut off in His... Let me just pause and say this, brethren. There are many people who don't believe this about God. I've been talking with some people this week, and their concept of God is so different than what the Bible teaches that it's just absolutely amazing the way they picture God. They picture God as a little old man that just wants to do good and that you to climb up in His lap and He'll give you anything He wants, anything you want. And that He won't do anything like the Word of God is talking about here. He would never do anything like that. But He's just a gentle God that's only going to do pleasant things towards His people. That's not what God's Word says. Look now at Lamentations chapter 2 and verse 3 says, He hath cut off in His fierce anger. And let me say this. Listen carefully now. If all you know about God is His anger and His wrath, you don't know all about God. If all you know about God is His mercy and His grace, you don't know all about God. There are some people that the only thing they know about God is the fierceness and the wrath and the anger and the judgment of God. While that is true, it is also important that we understand the mercy and the grace and the long-suffering and the gentleness and the goodness and the kindness of God. All of God's Word needs to be understood. Everything about God needs to be understood. I don't need to ever just preach the wrath of God. Neither do I need to only preach the mercy and the grace of God. I need to understand, and all of God's people need to understand, all that God's Word says about God. My daddy was a loving daddy. He was a loving daddy. Some people thought he was one of the meanest men on the face of this earth. And yet there were a lot of people thought he was the sweetest little old man around. How could people have such contrasting views of the same man? I saw him as both. I saw him sometimes as a very sweet, gentle, kind, loving daddy that did take me in his arms. Even when I was in high school and weighed twice as much as he did, he still held me in his lap. But there were other times he would cut me down to half my size. My daddy was full of love, but he was also full of judgment. And it all depended on how I acted in my life. Now you might say that's a distorted, daddy was not perfect. But I see that that's the way God is in His holy word. That's the way God is. It pleases the Lord to do good for us. Did you know that? It does not please God to bring judgment in our lives any more than it does for a daddy that really loves his children to have to spank his children. Many times my daddy would say, "This hurts me more than it does you." And listen, brethren, it does grieve. It grieves the Holy Spirit when we do that that's contrary to His Word. God says, "I know the thoughts that I have toward you, thoughts of peace, thoughts of good, and not of evil. I don't desire, it's not my desire, to carry out judgment in your life. That doesn't please me at all," is basically what God is saying. It pleases God to pour out His blessings on His people. But He will only do that when His people do what He says. It doesn't please God to be angry at His people. And it's not good for His people for God to be angry at them. Lamentations chapter 2, now verse 3, "He hath cut off in his fierce anger all the horn of Israel." That's the strength of Israel. Did God cut off the strength or the horn of Israel? Did He cut it off? Has God cut off the strength and power of America? Has God cut off the strength and power of the churches today? Is God removing His Spirit from His churches? Yes, He is. Why? It's because the churches have conformed to the world. We haven't come out from among them and been separate like the Word of God teaches for us to be. So God says here, "He hath cut off in His anger, in His fierce anger, all the horn of Israel. He hath drawn back His right hand from before the enemy." That is the enemies of the children of Israel. That is the enemies, the armies that were against Israel. God stopped restraining them. Did everybody follow what that's saying? God stopped restraining the enemies of the children of Israel. "And He burned against Jacob like a flaming fire which devoureth round about." Verse 4 says, "He hath bent His bow like an enemy." Who has bent His bow like an enemy? God has bent His bow like an enemy. What does that mean? Who has He bent His bow toward like an enemy? He has bent His bow like an enemy toward His people, toward His children. Verse 4 says, "He hath bent His bow like an enemy. He stood with His right hand as an adversary and slew all that were pleasant to the eye in the tabernacle of the daughter of Zion. He poured out His fury like fire. The Lord was as an enemy. He hath swallowed up Israel." Do you see what the Word of God is talking about here? Is God sometimes an enemy toward us? Is God sometimes a father toward us? Yes, He is. Now let's spend the rest of the time just talking about Him being a father toward us, okay? I want us to remember that God is our Father. I want us to remember what a great blessing it is to have a Father that loves us and is going to manifest Himself to us and do good for us and help us and bless us, that we'll be His sons and His daughters. Turn in your Bibles now to Matthew chapter 5. Let's go to the Sermon on the Mount. Let's think about what the Word of God says. I went through the Bible last night, or in the past week. I've been through the Bible, and I've looked. There are about 300 times that the Word of God talks about God, and this is just the New Testament that I went through. But there are about 300 times that the Bible refers to God as being our Father. Our Father. Now I encourage you to go home and just look through and take your concordance and look through and study all the Word of God has to say about God being your Father. It's a great blessing to know that God is your Father. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, the Word of God makes this statement. We mentioned it this morning. Let your light so shine before men. This is Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Do you want people to glorify God, your Father? Do you want them to glorify Him? Do you know there's something you can do that will result in people glorifying your Father? When you let your light shine before men that they may see your good works, they glorify your Father which is in heaven. Did you know I many times thank the Lord for all the work and the labor that you do in serving God? When I see your works that are glorifying God, when I see their church body working together in so many different capacities, when I see individual members of the body doing so much to help other people and working in all different kinds of areas and laboring together, and seeing you do that makes me thank my Father for you. I glorify my Father. I give praise to my Father for seeing you as His children living the way the Word of God says for you to live. I see some of you come to the house of God sometimes that you're so weak and weary and tired that you can hardly hold your head up. Is that a sacrifice to come when you're weary and faint and tired? Yes, it is. But is God well pleased with that? Yes, He is. I see some of you just working and laboring night and day in your service to the Lord, and it does my heart good. What do I do? What do others do when they see you letting your light shine to the honor and glory of God? Jesus says here, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. See what? See your good works. Ought we to be involved in good works? Should we be busy about our Father's business in doing good works? Yes, we should. And when people see us doing good works, they glorify our Father. Brother David, don't you think Brother Kelly Bell glorifies his Father? Amen. He glorifies his Father. He comes to the nursing home every Wednesday morning at Baptist Village and he glorifies God. He thanks God for the faithfulness of those that go, Brother David and Sister Jane, going there and singing and speaking from God's Word. He thanks God for Brother David. However, we thank God for Brother Kelly Bell. I'll tell you, look at his life, you'll see a man that loves the Lord. Comes all the way from Brunswick every Wednesday morning, not just to that worship service now, but he comes to sit there with some of those old people. Loves the Lord. Loves the Lord. What do? We glorify the Lord because of Him. Isn't that marvelous? Isn't it good to see the people of God, one watching another one, saying, look at that person work. Look at him honoring his Father. Look at him serving his Lord. Look at how some of you in this congregation, you work and labor so hard. You make great sacrifices. Some of you drive great distances. Some of you do other kinds of work. But you all, everybody in this building, I have seen you give, I have seen you live in such a way that I give glory to God. I give glory to who? My Father. See, I want you to remember my Father, that they may glorify your Father. What do I see? You know what I see in this congregation? I see a congregation full of people that are children of God. I see sons and daughters of God. Are you always perfect? Are you always trying to do what's right? No. But when I see you trying to do what's right, when I see you doing good works, when I see your faithfulness to God, I glorify my Father which is in heaven. Let your light so shine before men. Are you thankful for what your Father has done for you? Brother Jody, in his prayer, he said, as he was praying and just thanking the Lord for Jesus, and he just kept saying, Jesus, he said, that's all I can say. Well, that's right. That's all I can say. You know what's the most wonderful thing Jesus said? Well, I let the cat out of the bag there. What's the most wonderful thing your Father has ever done for you? He gave His only begotten Son. Now, I think most of you know that I love you. How many of you know that I love you? I love you. I love every one of you so much I could just squeeze you. You're precious to me. But I want you to all know this. And I wish I could say I love all of you the same. I don't love everybody the same. I know men. I know preachers are supposed to do that. I haven't reached that point yet. The point I'm trying to get across right here is, I love my son. I love my son too much to give my son's life for all of your lives except for my wife and my... Does everybody understand what I'm saying? God, my Father, loved you. Did you know that if you were the only one on the face of the earth, if there was not... Sometimes we get the idea just that the Father loved the world and we don't make it personal. We don't understand. God loved you, Sister Nina. The Father loved you so much that He gave His only begotten Son for you. The Father loved you so much that He gave His only begotten Son. I don't love you that much. I can't give my Son for your life. I love you. Now, I'd give my life for your life. Do you understand? I'd give my life for your life. I wouldn't give my Son's life for your life. Do you understand the love of God? He gave His only begotten Son. Oh, the love of whom? The love of our Father. The love of our Father. He loves us. He loves us. He loved us 2,000 years ago when He sent His only begotten Son into the earth. But He loves us right now. He loves us. He loves us. And He is loving us. And He is manifesting His love to us. Do all of you in this building know tonight that God is loving us in a great way? God loves this church. Did you know that? This is not a perfect church. There's not a perfect church in the earth. But I believe with all of my heart that this is a body of born-again baptized believers who love Jesus and love the Father and want to serve God and want to do what God says. And God is loving us. He's manifesting His love to us. He's doing all kinds of things to prove and show that His Word is true. When you try to serve Him in spite of your shortcomings, when you try to serve Him and you try to put Him first, you try to love Him like you ought to love Him, when you try to love Him as your Father and you love Him, you come out from among them and be separate and live like the Word of God teaches you ought to live, He'll come and He'll be a Father to you and you'll be His sons and daughters. And He'll say, good job, son, good job. Sometimes Marty would say to me, even since he's been grown, he says, Daddy, you just don't tell me enough what a good job I'm doing. I remember in high school he would say, Daddy, I just don't know whether you think I'm doing a good job or not. Well, it was because I was failing as a daddy to let him know that I was well pleased with his life. Excuse the personal references, but I just want you to know that all of us need to let each other know more how much we appreciate what each other's doing, you know? I don't let you know how much I appreciate what you do. I fail as a pastor to let you know how much I appreciate what you do. I fail as your brother in Christ. I fail as a husband. I fail as a daddy. I fail as a granddaddy. But I do love you. And I thank God for you. And I thank God for the way the Spirit of God radiates from your life. And I thank God that I see the Father doing what He said. You love me and I love you. You see, turn to John 14. I don't have time to go through the Sermon on the Mount. That's what I wanted to do tonight, but we're not going to get to that. We're going to go to John 14. You can go home and read the Sermon on the Mount. And you can read all about the Father over and over. Almost every verse you're going to hear what the Father does for his obedient children in the Sermon on the Mount. But I want you to look at John chapter 14 in closing. I want you to look at what John chapter 14 says. Here's what Jesus says. Jesus was about to leave the earth. John chapter 14, He says to the people, to His disciples in John 14 verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. Now listen, in My what? In My Father's house. Oh, is Jesus His Father, isn't He? Is God the Father? Is He Jesus His Father? Oh, He talked about His Father many times, didn't He? Jesus, over and over. He sometimes, when He would pray, He'd say, I thank Thee, O Father, that Thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Sometimes he would say this as he was facing the cross of Calvary, and Peter wanted to cut off Malchus's ear, and Jesus told him to put up the sword. He said, Shall my Father give me this cup, and shall I not drink it, that cup of suffering? Shall my Father, that's who's giving me this cup, my Father. Did you know sometimes the Father gives you some difficult cups to drink? But always remember this, it's not just God that gave you that cup, it's your Father that gave you that cup, and it's for your good. Brother Jody, do you have to sometimes give your children some strong medicine? How many of you ever took milk of magnesia? How many of you remember that? Or what's the worst medicine that you've ever had? Younger generation. I don't know what y'all... Pepto-Bismol. Oh, man, that was candy compared to... You take castor oil. Now, you take castor oil, and you'll be glad to have Pepto-Bismol. I'm serious. Pepto-Bismol, I could drink a bottle of Pepto-Bismol before one spoon of... Listen, brethren. But listen. Your father, my mother, they gave you that medicine. It was for my good. Do you know that? It was for my good. And my heavenly Father loves me more than my mom or daddy. And every cup my Father has ever given me, and I've had some bitter cups to drink, and you've had some bitter cups to drink, but every cup your father has ever given you, it's been for your good. Did you know that? Have you had some rough times in your life, Brother John? Rough times? Rough roads? Ever wanted to throw in the towel? Ever wanted to give up? I don't know how some of you keep on. I don't. Y'all have had some rough times. One dear saint that just died, I think this morning, Sister Nugent. Now you're talking about a rough cup. She's had a big, hard cup to drink for years. Been in her bed, flat of back, screaming in pain. Lots of pain, lots of agony. Then her husband, just a few months ago, had a stroke, and he's out at Baptist Village, and she's laying there in her home, just screaming in agony and pain, back surgeries, knee surgeries, all kinds of surgeries. And then today, I believe it was this morning, the Lord took her home. And I've knelt beside her bed many times, and I've said, Sister Nugent, I don't know of anybody that's had more suffering and more pain in your body, and yet you have never, never question God. You've also got, every time I ever went there, she said, God has been so good to me. Here she is laying, sometimes screaming while I was there, and yet saying, and then when she could stop screaming, she'd say, oh, Brother Billy, God's been so good to me. How? Oh, God's been so good to me. Can you imagine the faith for year after year after year? And praying every time, every day, God, please heal me. Stop this pain. Faith, great faith. You know why? You know what she? You know who she believed in? You know who her faith was in? Her faith was in who? Her Father. Her Father. Oh, she knew the Father. She knows the Father now better than she ever did here in this world. She knows the Father. She's with the Father right now. Oh, by the way, when Jesus was leaving this world, he said, you remember how many times he said, I'm going to heaven. You remember how many times he said, I'm going to heaven? How many times did Jesus say, I'm going to heaven, I'm going to heaven? How many times did he say that? Zilch, zero. Never said that. What did he always say every time he talked about leaving this world? I'm going to my Father. That's where we're going, brethren. When we leave this world, we're going to our Father. Isn't that wonderful? Our Father. Our Father. The Father. A Father that's perfect and holy and righteous. Even when He gives us bitter cups to drink, trials of our faith, He's still a good Father. Even when He turns and becomes our enemy, He's still a good Father. And everything He ever does is right and good and holy and just. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Now listen to John. I want to close in John 14, verse 21. John 14, 21 says, He that hath my... This is Jesus speaking. John 14, verse 21, He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Do you love Jesus? Are you keeping His commandments? If you're not keeping His commandments, you don't love Jesus. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. What's that saying? When you are loving God, God will be loving you. Does everybody understand that? When you are loving God, God will be loving you. That's when you're manifesting your love for God, God will be manifesting His love for you. And I will love Him and will manifest myself to Him. Verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. And we, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, we will come and make our abode with him. Isn't it wonderful to have the Father come live with you? You know what most people want to do with their fathers nowadays? Father gets old. You know what happens typically to fathers when they get old now? Brother Rich, don't you ever do this now. Don't you put Brother Steve out in that nursing home or Sister Grace out in that nursing home. You know, there's a lot of ways we've gotten away from what God's Word teaches. Now, I'm not saying don't ever. There may be a time that a person gets so bad, so weak, that they can actually get better care in a nursing home. Does everybody understand that? I misspoke a moment ago. There are times that you have gone as far as you can go and you've done everything you can do. But don't be so quick to jump and throw somebody away. And don't ever throw them away. Even if they're in the nursing home, you still can. You can go visit them every day. I want my Father to come live with me. You want your Father? You want your Heavenly Father to come live with you? Or you want to just go see Him once a week at His house? You understand the question? You want to just go see God once a week at His house? Just want to go to church, visit Him in His house? Or do you want Him to come to your house? If you want your Father to come to your house, if you want Him to come make His abode with you, then you love Him and you come out from among the world and you live separate from the world. And the Father says, I'll come to you and I'll come live with you. I'll come dwell in your house. May God help us to love the Father so that the Father will manifest His love to us, is my prayer for Christ's sake.